In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Word for Life, a broadcast of Brookside Baptist Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin. My name is Scott Sander, one of the pastors on staff at Brookside, and I'm joined by Pastor Ken Keltner, our senior pastor, this morning. We'd love to have you out and join us for services this Sunday, which is New Year's Eve. We'll be having services at 9 and 10:15, along with all our Sunday school classes. And then if you would, join us back in the evening at 8 o'clock. We're going to have a great time of fun and fellowship and celebration. We'll be showing a godly film, and then we'll be celebrating the Lord's table as we ring in the new year. And this is our last broadcast of 2023. And the dad in me likes to tell the dad joke. I guess we'll see you next year after that. But we're going through the book of Judges right now, and we're in this kind of squeamish part of scripture in Judges 17, beginning at 17 on through the end, where sin and depravity is just comes to the surface. And we've been going through Judges 19, where this Levite and takes his concubine, and they're heading back home, and he finds hospitality in the house of a man, but they're soon surrounded by another group of men who wish to abuse him and know him carnally, and he throws his concubine out to appease them, all the while he seems to rest comfortably. And if you're not familiar with scripture, as we've read through this, you might be thinking, well, is this Judges 19 or Genesis 19? And really, the parallels run deep there, Pastor Ken.
Absolutely, they do. Here at the end of chapter 19, it's just selfish indifference. Remember, they, as you mentioned, they threw this concubine out to these perverted men. And it's just sad there in verse 27, when her master arose in the morning, who was the Levite, the spiritual leader who's to be caring for people, threw her out to a mob, a perverted man, and he goes to bed. I just, unbelievable. Because God created woman not just from the dust of the ground, but from the side of Adam. Christianity is against the demeaning of women. We're to exalt women. And let me just say something about a lot of the rap music I hear today when I'm sitting at the intersection and a car pulls up and it's playing. I am like in shock of what they're saying they're doing to women.
It's the feminist movement wants to push against the church how bad we treat women. Women are exalted no better place than in biblical Christianity.
Yeah. As Uncle Drew, you know, Pepsi had that commercial of the young basketball player that they dressed up like an older guy, called him Uncle Drew, and he went out on the court and everybody's laughing at him, but then pretty soon he turns on the Jets and this older guy is dunking over everybody. But he always referred to all the younger ones out there. He go, you young bloods, you young bloods. And he would be saying, you young bloods, let me tell you who you rapper dudes demean, women. And when society loses sight of who God is, women will be raped, murdered, abused, hurt, harmed, and wronged. I mean, was that October 7th right to the T?
Yep, indeed.
Many a Christian woman has been abused or hurt physically by her Christian husband. That, my friend, is not Christ-like distinctiveness in the world that we need to see. And that is what we would call sin. And folks, we're sleeping through it all day. We've become so indifferent to what's going on. As Americans, we're dancing the dance of death. 36 million preborn babies have been slaughtered. The blood of babies has stained America. In June 1997, in New Jersey, a teenage girl gave birth to a baby in a bathroom stall at her high school prom. She took her newborn baby and stuffed the baby into a trash can and went back to dance with her boyfriend. She asked the band to play her favorite song, The Unforgiven. Abortion is not just barbaric, it's not just murder, but it's become legal in America. Look where indifference and tolerance have landed us. You tell me, are we a happy people? I don't think so. And here, you're going to see savage inhumanity in the following verses, in verses 28 to 30. And I'd hate to say it, it's just going to keep getting worse and worse. So what does the Levite do? Start with verse 28.
And he said to her, get up and let us be going.
Now, hold on a sec. So not only has he been sleeping all night, she's been thrown out. And now she's lying there, you know, at the front door. And he gets up and basically commands her, get up, we got to get going.
Mm-hmm.
Keep reading.
And she can't get up.
No, she can't get up.
But there was no answer. So the man lifted her onto the donkey, and the man got up and went to his place. When he entered his house, he took a knife, laid hold of his concubine, and divided her into 12 pieces, limb by limb, and sent her throughout all the territory of Israel. And so it was that all who saw it said, no such deed has been done or seen from the day that the children of Israel came up from the land of Egypt until this day. Consider it, confer, and speak up.
Oh my, what a sad,
brutal,
sad. I mean, and so the Levite, he's saying we cannot sit in ignorance of what is happening in our country. He's saying we all have to be shocked by this. That's why he sends it to all the different tribes. The word got out that a city has been taken over and run by perverts. The Levite is saying our country is going to hell. Once again, I ask you, will that preach today?
It sure will.
Look at verse 30 and what he says. Consider it, confer, and speak up. There is much for us to say today, but nothing more important than that the gospel of Jesus Christ, it can change. Jesus can change men and women and boys and girls. And what we need is a king who will rescue us, who will rule us, who will change us. We can only appreciate the gospel if we actually first grasp that we are more wicked and more desperate than we ever even imagined. Next, we need to be right with God personally and then pray that God helps us to change our culture. Let us be different. And it might, for you, need to start right in your own home, because that's the one area that Satan would love to attack. You know, these five chapters, a lot of pastors like to skip over it. They don't want to preach it. And I'm one that probably would rather not preach it, because it is, as Scott said, the sewer of Scripture. But Paul, if you remember, reminded the Corinthian church that the Old Testament was written for our example, and that we should not go after evil things as they also lusted. The punishment, really, that came upon the disobedient Israelites, not only was it an example to their fellow Hebrews, but also to believers in every age since. Therefore, they're given for our instruction. And if you've been with us over the last several weeks, how many times do we stop? And I look at you, Scott, and I go, is that here today?
I think it's nearly every broadcast where we're saying that.
At least that, even once or twice. We're not merely to read the Old Testament, we're to understand it. And I agree, this is such a disturbing text, but it is as a trumpet signaling a warning, like a no trespassing sign. Do not come here. Don't even enter into this type of living. And yet that kind of despicable action of what we've been looking at is seen on television shows that believers are probably filling their minds with. For us, it is a warning not to seek happiness in something other than the one true God. That is a description of what happens when you build life, family, faith, or even culture apart from God. And it only takes one generation to go from faithful to unfaithful. You know, Pastor Scott, what's interesting is asking, well, how many first-generation Christians are here today?
Mm-hmm.
Especially on a Sunday night, it's usually first-generation Christians. Big time on a Wednesday night, first-generation Christians. Second-generation Christians, there will be some in the morning and possibly some even in the evening. But man, when you get to third and fourth and fifth-generation believers, no, it's amazing to me. I'm like shocked so many different times, because it only takes one generation to go from being faithful to unfaithful. I think one of the saddest scenarios for me was at my dad's funeral. He was a first-generation Christian. I'm a second-generation Christian. And he passed away on Thanksgiving Day. And so right after Thanksgiving week, we had my dad's funeral and his memorial service. And as we all came back to the house where, you know, their house, and my mom is still living, I looked out and I saw two of my nephews, both atheists, you know, one smoking weed. And I thought, boys, your granddad is rolling over in his grave right now. I mean, the last thing he would ever want is to see this kind of living within his own family. But when a person ignores God's precepts, ignores God's principles, pragmatism can engulf that person. It's going to engulf the family, the community, the country, the church, and ultimately the world. The most miserable people in the world are professing believers who will not commit themselves wholly to the Lord Jesus and obediently follow God's word. And I can say that emphatically because that was me one day. I was a miserable believer because I refused to tell God, I'll do whatever you want. You have my whole heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I still regret it that was my heart's attitude, but I'm thankful for God's patience and his work in my life. But if you are not committing yourselves wholly to the Lord, you are a miserable believer. I know. I see it, and I experienced it.
One of the things that's been interesting to me as I've come on staff here recently and I've left a secular engineering job is the number of my old coworkers who said, Scott, I wish I had the courage to do what you're doing. And it never struck me as being courageous. It just struck me as this is being obedient to God's call and God's leading in my life.
You know, and there's nothing better. I mean, you fill an auditorium full of preachers and their wives or missionaries or evangelists and their wives, and you better get ready for some pretty powerful singing because they just love the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we don't have problems. I'm not saying we don't sin. But we want to be right with the Lord, and we want to honor him because you can't have the best of both worlds. I mean, Jesus said it so well. You cannot serve God and mammon, for either you'll hate the one, love the other, or you'll hold to the one, despise the other. You can't have the best of both worlds. You'll have the worst if you don't want the Lord.
Right.
If as Christians we try to walk the tightrope of compromise and partial obedience, we will not know spiritual victory and God's blessing. As we get ready to move into the year 2024, I trust that you will experience the joy and the peace and the harmony of your relationship, your fellowship with Christ, because that is going to be true happiness even in the midst of problems and difficulties within our families, our churches, and our lives, our country. But there's this inner peace and happiness that I have knowing I belong to the Lord, I'm his, and he is mine.
Amen.
Well, have a great time bringing in the new year, and I trust that God will be glorified in that and how we do it.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.